From Nordic Institute and the Sault Ste. Marie Innovation Center's Rural Agri-Innovation Network, we're committed to promoting resilient Northern Ontario communities. We're partnering to bring you a new podcast series, The PACSAC Project. The PACSAC Project is all about exploring the essential relationships, attitudes, and mindsets that Northern communities need as we adapt to change and challenges. Here to introduce the podcast for our first episode is Dr. Gail Broad, along with myself, David Thompson, and Dr. Sean Meets.
The concept for this podcast series grew out of the pandemic and the need to identify some hope for the future, with particular emphasis on northern, rural, and Indigenous regions such as Northern Ontario. These areas tend to be ignored or sometimes deliberately omitted from the public discourse that we hear on radios or in podcasts generally, because of the concentration primarily of population bases in larger urban centers. So we're beginning this series by speaking with representatives of the podcast partners, David Thompson of the Rural Agri-Innovation Network, or RAIN for short, and Dr. Sean Meads, the director of Nordic Institute, which is a community-based research and development center based at Algoma University in Sault Ste. Marie. I wonder, David and Sean, if today you could begin with a brief introduction of yourselves and tell us a little bit about what your hopes for this broadcast series are. Sean, would you like to kick us off?
Sure. Well, as you said, Gail, I'm Sean Meadis. I'm the director of Nordic Institute at Algoma University, and I'm an assistant professor in the Department of Community Economic and Social Development. I grew up for most of my life in Sault Ste. Marie, or areas just north of this community. Throughout my studies, my career before coming into academia, was always very interested in our understanding of place and community and what counted as worthwhile spaces that attracted people, that where people could feel like their lives and strivings made a difference, and how communities are represented in these different ways. So one of the things that I hope for this podcast is that it can shed light on some of the initiatives and stories that are often happening just sort of below the surface of public awareness, and demonstrate that we already have what we need to become the communities that we want to be throughout Northern Ontario. And part of that, I think, stems from so much of the public attention that is paid to issues of political, economic, or social significance. It's focused on these major urban centers or regions that are, you know, maybe it's not the big cities, but more of these larger centers of political power. I think there's a tendency for us to think about when we come from a place like Northern Ontario. Growing up, I had this sense that in many cases, our gaze was directed someplace else. We were always comparing ourselves against what was happening in Southern Ontario or Toronto or other places. So my hope is that this can kind of contribute to shifting that conversation, as so many of the initiatives that we'll be profiling contribute to, by emphasizing that, you know, history is made right here in places, whether it's Sault Ste. Marie, Timmins, Sudbury, Opisataka, or Wawa, that Northern communities are every bit as much as part of making the conversation. And history isn't something that only happens someplace else.
Thanks, Sean. Yeah, just to introduce myself, David Thompson, and I've lived in this area for most of my life. Went away to school and then came back, married my wife, and now we have kids living here in Sault Ste. Marie. And I've worked in, I guess, this field of community development for the last 15 years. And my whole focus has really been recognizing the strengths of local farmers, local businesses, and helping them to just realize a different path forward in light of the challenges that are coming at them. So for the last close to 10 years now, I've led an initiative called RAIN, the Rural Agri-Innovation Network. And at RAIN, our focus is really to catalyze northern food systems to innovate, to network, to market northern foods. And starting this podcast was an effort in RAIN to strengthen our network across the north. My hope really for this podcast is that we can power the people in Northern Ontario to realize new opportunities for their communities, for their organizations, and also to get clarity on where these communities are headed in a rapidly changing world. I think that's only through hearing people's stories, their experiences of what they've been doing to make their communities more livable, more resilient. The people who listen are going to be able to better sense how they may need to start shifting their thinking, shifting their practice accordingly. So in our first season, we're going to hear from Northern farmers, entrepreneurs, researchers, community leaders, as they're the innovators that Northern Ontario needs in order to overcome its challenges.
Well, thanks very much to both of you for those ideas of why this podcast might be of interest to the folks in Northern Ontario. Certainly, the idea that history is made here as well as in other centers around the world, that there's many different pathways towards community resilience, and we do have some choice in the matter. And that looking at how folks are currently shifting their focus or responding in a different way to sometimes pernicious problems is an interesting way to approach it for sure. Now, the title of this series, the PACSAC Project, it's definitely a northern concept in my view of, you know, you pick up your PACSAC and you go fishing or hunting or out in the bush, camping, exploring the wilderness a bit. It implies an intent to take the listeners on a bit of a journey or some type of a hike, a climb perhaps. We might take along a little camping gear, or maybe we'll go to someplace within our region that rather than heading for the big city. Where do you expect this journey might take us?
In naming this podcast as well, I think that part of what we were looking for, just as you said, Gail, it's part of that journey of rediscovery of our own power, of our own experiences. But also when we were trying to think of what encapsulates this type of project that we were trying to pull together, it's quite challenging to try to come up with one or two words to describe it, right? Because so much of what we're talking about is the nature of community development in various different forms. And that can be hard to communicate because whether it's the economic or social or cultural or environmental dimensions, so much of them are intertwined with one another that it's hard to distinguish them from one another and their significance. But I think one of the things that we were also looking for was to find one of these sort of northern shibboleths too, that kind of encapsulated an aspect of not necessarily northern identity, because there's certainly a multiplicity of those available, but a characteristic of that was unique to Northern Ontario and illusion of the PACSAC and being able to set out on a journey and reacquaint yourself with whether it's nature or the places that we do call home throughout the region, I think is a really sort of powerful image for us.
Yeah, I'd agree. Certainly when I was down south, like I think I realized immediately people's faces when I said I was bringing my PACSAC to class. And for me, like one PACSAC that I have at my place is my hiking PACSAC. I've used it maybe a couple of times. And I remember my first overnight hike where we were doing some hiking out to some lakes around Blind River to go fishing. The night before, like our whole crew would have our PACSACs out on the floor. We'd have the essential pieces, right? We'd have our tree hammocks, the tent flies, the sleeping bags, the fishing gear. And we'd also pack the not so essentials, like the battery packs and our cameras and all that stuff. And we're only going for one night. So like it was after packing up when I realized I left my hiking boots at home. And all I was wearing was my office shoes. And I knew they were going to get destroyed, and they totally got destroyed. So yeah, full disclaimer, this podcast isn't about hiking and reviews on PACSACs. It's more about what we're learning on the journey and how we prepare for that journey as well. And on that road, we're going to have setbacks and successes. We're going to learn how to think about what happened to us differently through reflection, through these types of conversations. So for example, one conversation that we're going to have this season is with one entrepreneur's journey that we had the opportunity to talk to, and that was Jerry Brandon. He was a 60 Scoop survivor who worked as an executive chef across Canada and returned to his hometown in Haileybury to open up his own restaurant, and he also opened up a retail store. So here's a bit of Jerry from that episode.
Can you rebuild these communities that have been basically, as far as I'm concerned, robbed by really poor planning approaches? dependent upon developments that line the highway in form of strip malls and Canadian Tires and Home Depots and, God forbid, Walmart. Can you rebuild it? And can you bring back that sense of community? And that's what's losing, is we're losing our connection due to the mass influx of media that we see every day. People sit there looking at their phones. We have a restaurant that has no televisions, and we don't give a Wi-Fi. You watch people come in here from that can't speak English or French. They barely speak English, sitting at a table side by side with a group of four that are English and barely speak French, and they're enjoying their food. They're having drinks. They're sitting there, and all of a sudden they're talking to each other across the table, making each other understood what a great time they're having. And they're doing it while being surrounded by a modern display of an indigenous culture that shows it as a living, thriving, evolving culture, not as a tourist spot, not as something from history, but something that's alive and moving today. There was a woman in a couple of weeks back who said that she'd learned more about indigenous culture in one night in this restaurant than she'd learned in her entire life through school, through education, and through her adult life. That's profound. And I think that sadly these days it's people discount what the independent restaurant is capable of doing. Because, you know, if you look through history, look down through history, going all the way back to the earliest recording, like recipes and stuff of the 1500s in France, and they start talking about restaurateur, like restorative places on the highways, and how people gathered, how political ideals are formed, how philosophy is formed, how partnerships are formed, how communities are built, and they're built in places where people gather to eat and drink. And I think that there are a lot of people that discount that. It's definitely not to their betterment, that's for sure.
Okay, I guess one of the other things that, you know, when you mentioned the packsack, I just had this flash of a couple of times when I've had to carry a very heavy, heavy packsack out of the bush with some game in it, and how freeing it is when you can actually take the backpack off. But when we talk about shifting gears or shifting focus, or someone like you've just mentioned, David, that has recreated himself more than once over his lifetime and has built something quite extraordinary in his hometown when he returned there, just how heavy sometimes the packsack can get, as well as having those essentials in it. So thanks for that image. I'm sure that for all of us, it conjures up different memories and experiences, and those are all valuable in building communities. David, with your background in business and economics and your current work in the agricultural sector, that kind of suggests that you'd be primarily interested in strengthening the economy of Northern Ontario. While Sean, your interests appear to be more in the social and cultural sectors, with a strong focus in working in social justice issues, particularly in collaboration with Indigenous peoples. I wonder how you two are bringing these diverse perspectives together into a podcast series, or how do those things blend as we look into this future a bit?
I think that's one of the really exciting things about this project, is this intertwining of different perspectives and what we might call, whether it's disciplines or the sectors, because this whole approach of community development, it's something that cuts across all of these different types of sectors. And if there's anything that I've learned over the years, certainly when I started out, you know, I very much considered myself very focused on social and cultural phenomena and issues. And the more that I've worked in this sphere, the more I've realized just how intertwined all of those pieces are, and how difficult it is to separate the cultural from the economic, from the social to the environmental. I hope the listeners will take from this, even though each of the episodes looks at a different theme, it's understanding the sort of holistic dimensions that each episode carries. We aren't just economic beings or social beings or cultural beings. We exist in relation to each other in all of these ways, whether we're on the job or pursuing a creative interest or spending time with our families and friends. All of those play a really important role in shaping our lives throughout, not just this region, but in any community.
Yeah, that's another thing that I think is exciting about what we're doing here, is just looking at the multiple facets and dimensions of life in Northern Ontario, where went back at university when I was taking business and economics courses, yeah, food was definitely commodified, right? But behind that food is families in the north that are making a living. It's about their kids as part of that family being engaged on that farm. and it stretches back for generations. So that's one aspect that I'm excited about, is we're bringing together a lot of diverse voices and experience. And for instance, in a few episodes in this season, we're going to be discussing the impacts of sandhill cranes, the impact that they're having on the agricultural sector, but also their impacts on cultural elements with the North's indigenous peoples. And so in one episode, we're going to hear from a potato farmer in Sudbury who was impacted, a biologist that's studying sandhill crane movements in North, and Chief Dean Sayers. He's going to talk about the crane's impact on agriculture and also the people of Bawating. So here's a bit from that episode.
I'm Crane. More specifically, what my family has told me, that we're blue heron, and we are from Bawating. We frequented this area along with our relatives, the sandhill cranes and the white cranes and the variances. Where I live, there's, maybe 50 or more of the blue heron that live across the road from me in the bush. And you can hear them all the time. And they make this really loud noise. And if you don't know what they are, you wonder what that is. It captures your attention. That's part of what their responsibility is for us to take note of. A lot of times they will provide the warning to the rest of creation when there's something we need to be conscious of. And that's the sound that they make. And it causes you to look, and it causes you to take inventory and think. As human beings, we had forgotten our original instructions. So the animals, they all decided that they would help us. And because they needed our support, because that was part of our original responsibilities, was to help all of creation. So the animals befriended us, including the crane, the bear, the turtle, the wolf, the eagle, the marten, and many other animals, fish, the name or the sturgeon, and other species, other animals. They all decided to share with us and help us remember what our original instructions might have been.
Yeah, so some very powerful images are coming to my mind as you talk about this intersectionality of these different issues. I think that's one of the challenges, isn't it, in working with it, is being able to keep that broad-based perspective while still working on the issue that is of most concern to you, and seeing the linkages between those, connecting those dots, as they say. Communities in the North are facing so many challenges today. Some of them reflect the same issues, but play out differently as large urban centers, but they play out differently in rural and northern regions, such as homelessness, for example, addictions and mental health issues, and of course, climate change, which is being felt certainly so much in rural areas and Indigenous communities particularly. How do some of the northern innovations that you've been looking at address some of these really pernicious challenges that we face today?
I think what's really intriguing about these examples is how so many of the successful initiatives that we see are really tailor-made, right? It's not just this application of best practices from some manual that is then imposed on or taken up by a local agency. You know, of course, information sharing is absolutely important, whatever sector we work in. But so much of what's really fascinating about these examples is how communities take the knowledge that they have and develop something that is unique and responds to that local condition, that builds on those local strengths and that draws on those local resources.
Yeah, I think one thing is just that we're going to see so many of these different innovations emerge just out of our sense of place, right? Whether that's in a Francophone community, an Indigenous community, or here in Sault Ste. Marie. Through this podcast, we get to speak to people who are really working on the front lines of these challenges. And one that certainly popped out was our interview with Dr. Kathy Servin with the Northern Ontario School of Medicine, who's been working to set up a process of training new doctors that really responds to the needs of Northern Indigenous, Francophone, and Anglophone communities. And so in this episode, she explored with us how these immersive experiences for students has really led to a better retention of Northern doctors in some of these communities. So here's a bit from that episode.
Yes, NASM, when it began, was very innovative in a number of ways for the MD program. And two things are really worth highlighting. One is that, and still to this day, every single medical student at NASM spends 4 weeks in their first year in a remote Indigenous community where they live in the community. And that is a cultural immersion experience and really helps ground medical students in the reality of life and healthcare in Indigenous communities. So that is one particular innovation that NASM has had from the beginning. As well, all our third-year medical students who in their first 2 years are primarily based in Sudbury and Thunder Bay, for 8 months of their third year, they live and work and learn in a community outside of Sudbury and Thunder Bay. It's called a longitudinal integrated clerkship. So they're based in family medicine, and they also learn about the other specialties through various additional experiences.
Okay, so the two of you have convinced me that this podcast series is something that we all really need to hear to learn about the multiple ways that our neighbors, our friends, our families are tackling some of these big issues that are facing our region. You've both been doing a number of the interviews. Could you give me some final thoughts from each of you on the series itself and what excites you about listening to the folks from across the region talk?
Well, doing some of these interviews, I think what really stands out is the tenacity of the folks who are really mobilizing around these issues across our communities throughout Northern Ontario, and just the inspiring creativity that they bring to so many of the challenges that they're trying to address or mitigate, or the things that they're trying to create within their respective communities.
Yeah, I'm excited to share this first season. And I'm interested to just see like how listeners are going to receive it. Like my hope really for this is a two-way dialogue with our listeners, because there's so much that we can learn from other community members just about how they're handling their challenges in their communities, maybe uniquely from what they've heard. So we also have a great team behind us to produce the podcast between the Innovation Center here and Nordic Institute. I hear a lot about this need to get organizations out of our organizational silos so that we could realize a better future for where our communities can go. And I think what we're doing through this podcast is trying to demonstrate that, right? And I hope that message will impact some other organizations across the North.
Well, thanks very much, David and Sean, for your time today and for speaking with us about what we can look forward to as we anticipate the beginning of the podcast series and hear these stories from our friends, our neighbors, our relatives, perhaps, as they seek to make Northern Ontario the place that we'd all really love to live in.
We'd like to hear from you and what you thought about today's program. We are on Facebook and Instagram at the PACSAC Project, and you can also find us on Twitter at the PACSAC Pod. If you're not on social media, you can email us a question at thepacsacproject@gmail.com. To find more episodes, head to nordicinstitute.com, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or Google Podcasts. We'd like to thank those who made this episode possible. Editing by Grace Sang, music from Frank Duresti, tech support from Mark Laporte. Thanks for joining us.